Today's Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 through 9a, the first half of verse 9. It's kind of a break between first and second half, so you have to say 9a. So if you're following along in your Bible and I don't finish verse 9, that's why. I'm just stopping at the halfway through. There's a little paragraph break there. Isaiah 58. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? No. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord God, help us as we consider this strange text, this strange practice, where we abstain from food when we have a potato bar waiting for us in a little bit. What kind of word is this? Help us as we seek to follow you and to come closer to you in discipleship. Watch over us in this hour, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever gone through the motions of anything in your life? I have. Let me tell you a short little story here about the last school at which I taught math, just before moving up here. I won't even name it because I don't want to have you have any bad thoughts about it, but it was a school for which I was an adjunct instructor. I taught math classes at the college level as kind of a part-time gig, and the school was not very well organized. You can ask me later what I really think about it, but I would never send anyone there as a student. It was kind of hard for me to teach there because normally you'd want to, you know, be proud of the school that you teach at and you'd want to encourage other students to. I really couldn't do that with this school. It just wasn't run very well. It was a for-profit college, and for-profit colleges kind of like to get as many students in there so they can make more profit, and whether or not the students are able to handle college or able to pay for college. So, you know, there's some ethical things going on there too. But anyway, all of that aside, I taught math and I loved it, and I really enjoyed interacting with the students that I taught. But when it came to staff meetings, I didn't really like staff meetings. Can anybody resonate with that? When you have, you know, meetings with your coworkers, let's just get back to work, right? I mean, do we need to have a fun day where we sit back and go bowling or something to build teamwork? I don't know. Maybe we do, but I was an adjunct instructor. I showed up for my classes, taught my classes, and went home. And I didn't really interact with these other people in my department at all. That was just kind of my lot in life. Did I ever go through the motions of sitting through those staff meetings? Yeah, you bet. Every once in a while when we'd have them, I'd go there and I'd play my part and I'd participate in the meetings and say, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Let's go bowling. They never planned it until after I left, so whatever. But I went through the motions. I don't know that I'm necessarily proud of that. That's just kind of the way it was. But I'm sure there are times in your life when you've done the same thing. Now, we're in church, so the question has to be asked, and you know what it is. Have you ever gone through the motions here? Have you ever gone through the motions in your religious life? I won't ask for a show of hands, but if we're being honest, probably all of us could raise our hands. At one point in our lives, we've just been here or gone to a church, wherever it was, and not really felt like it was the place to be. That's normal. That's part of human existence. That's part of everyday life. We have highs, we have lows. Sometimes we feel close to God, sometimes we don't. That's normal. But if we stay there in that going through the motions phase, that's not healthy. That's not where we need to be. So if you're in one of those moods right now where you're just kind of here and not really feeling it, I understand. That's okay. We all feel that. I hope that changes in the weeks and months to come. Because our God is a relational God. Our Lord wants to know us in relationship. And if you're in a relationship that's flat, it's not much of a relationship at all. Going through the motions. This is what the people in Isaiah's day were doing. That's what this challenging passage from Isaiah 58 is really all about. The people of God were going through the actions of their religious lives, but not really meaning it. And it's all about this fasting idea. I'm already starting to feel a little bit hungry. I'm probably going to be really starving by the time this is over, but if I talk about food too much, you just remember, there's food waiting for us. Our fast today isn't going to last too long. But there's something to it. We are about to enter the season of Lent. Do you realize this? We are fast approaching Ash Wednesday. If you want to have any Mardi Gras parties, it's this Tuesday. Don't worry about that. But then Ash Wednesday is the official beginning of the season of Lent, which is the span of days leading up to Easter. Lent officially is the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, skipping all the Sundays. Sundays don't count as part of Lent. I don't know why. That's just how they decided it. So when you count the days on the calendar, you'll come up with 47 from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Anyway, it starts on Ash Wednesday. And historically, Lent has been a season of preparation in the same way that Advent is a season of preparation for Christmas. There's a set of days that we await, that we expect God to come. And it's part of our rhythm, it's part of our cycle as Christians to have this yearly calendar where we kind of go through these different seasons of expectation and joyful arrival of what we've been expecting. And it's good for us, it's healthy for us to do these things. Lent is a season of preparation where we will kind of individually, maybe we will try to draw closer to the Lord. We will have more intentional devotion to Him, not just us, but Christians around the world. This is something that around the world Christians are going to experience for the next 40 some odd days. Have any of you ever given up anything for Lent? Do you know this practice of giving up something for Lent? Do you know of this? You hear people will give up chocolate for Lent, or you give up speeding for Lent. I don't know what you... I don't know. Sometimes they can be pretty silly things, right? I'll give up... but maybe they can be really serious things. If you spend too much time on the computer, I'll give up Facebook for Lent. Ooh. Leanne knows. I know. If Annie Owen were up here, she's downstairs with the children, she'd say this too. Yeah, I don't know if I can give up Facebook for Lent. That's kind of, you know, an everyday... But giving up something for Lent goes back to this idea from Isaiah 58 and throughout the Old Testament, this idea of fasting, where people would actually give up food for a certain period of time. That kind of spiritual practice is a little bit outside of our norm today. We don't often, we especially in the Church of God, don't often practice things like fasting. Some folks do, but it's kind of an individual thing. If you do, you try not to make a big deal of it. After all, Jesus said, when you fast, not if, interestingly, not if you fast, but when you fast, don't make your face all contorted and, oh, I'm so hungry, like I said just a minute ago. But I'm not really fasting, I'm just waiting for lunch, that's all. But when you do fast, when you go without food for a day or 2 days or 7 days or 40 days, wow. Don't let anybody catch on to it, because you're not doing it for your own glory to say, look how spiritual I am, I'm fasting now. No, you do it, you keep yourself clean, wash your face, do your hair up nice so everybody thinks everything's normal. The Lord knows, God knows. Fasting, really? When we fast, not if? It was part of Jesus' culture to fast. When he went out into the desert just after his baptism, he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, when the devil came to tempt him. Turn this stone into bread. After you go without food for 40 days, it would be awfully tempting to turn that stone into bread, I think. Jesus practiced fasting. And Christians throughout history have practiced fasting. But we in the Church of God have not usually done that very much at all, historically speaking. It's not really part of our practice. So what in the world... You all see this, right? What in the world is this image doing up on our screen? What is it about this Focus 40 thing that is calling the Church of God to 40 days of prayer and fasting? Well, let me tell you. You may have read about this in the little newsletter from this month. You've seen something maybe online about it too, if you've seen the church website. This Focus 40 business is a new program that's beginning... this month, not on Ash Wednesday, but a week from Ash Wednesday. It's going to be 40 days of concerted prayer and fasting, and it's encapsulating as much of the Church of God movement as possible. As of today, there are more than 500 churches signed up to participate in this program, and we're one of them. 500 churches, most of them in the United States, some of them in places like Guam and Côte d'Ivoire, and other places around the world. So we've got Christians in all sorts of places going with this theme, 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now, I said it doesn't start on Ash Wednesday, but a week after. We're starting it on the 13th, Wednesday the 13th, which is, 16th. 16th, that would be a Wednesday, wouldn't it? It's the week after this coming Wednesday, because we're going to include Sundays too. So instead of 47 days until Easter, we're starting at 40 days till Easter, and we'll just do our Lent thing starting a week late. That's okay. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Why? Well, on the one hand, it gives us something to sort of coordinate ourselves around. See, one of the problems in the Church of God experience is that our congregations can sort of do our own thing. That's not a problem necessarily, but when we don't have anything in common with somebody in Guam or Côte d'Ivoire or in Florida or in Washington State, then, you know, we've kind of strayed a little bit. So this is an attempt for us to kind of bring our collective spiritual forces together to see some transformation in our world. To see some transformation in our spiritual lives, in our churches, in our communities. We're choosing to participate in this program voluntarily. It's not being dictated to us, but it's something we're choosing to participate in so that we might share something in common with our brothers and sisters in other places around the country and around the world. 40 days of prayer and fasting, because that's usually what happens during the season of Lent. Fasting is giving up food, and so, you know, sometimes people will give up something. And prayer, we're pretty much okay with. I mean, we're all okay with spending a little bit more time praying, or at least the idea of it. But when the pastor gets up and says, how about you spend some time away from food? And that's a little shakier, isn't it? Well, anyway, 40 days of prayer and fasting. There are some resources to go along with this. Just to show you. what they look like. There is a devotional booklet that looks like this. It's about 25 pages long. And there are devotions in it, one for each of the 40 days. I have put this, I will have put this on the church website. It will be available very, very shortly. Sometime today I'll get a link up there for you to download this document on your own. If you have a computer that's connected to the internet, you don't need to get one of these booklets because it'll be on your computer and it's just there, and it'll save some paper that way. But if you don't have a computer or access to the internet, or if you'd rather have the hard copy, I have a number of these that I'll have out on the narthex table here, or probably down in the fellowship hall since we'll be gathering there in a little bit too. You can take one, maybe just one per household, so we can kind of save on some resources there. And if we run out, I have a little sign-up sheet so you can put your name and I'll be sure to get you one. I just didn't want to make too many because it's kind of a lot of paper. But we have a little devotional booklet with guiding thoughts to help us through these 40 days. And there is a little prayer calendar. One side says March and one side says April. You can see that from where you sit, right? Anyway, each of the days of the 40 days leading up to Easter, there's a different Church of God organization or congregation or program that we can be praying for. For instance, there is Warner Press is on there, our printing press down in Anderson. We can pray for the people who work there and for the products that they produce. The Christian Women Connection, our women of the Church of God, that's another one. There's a pastor listed on here. There's our radio ministry. Each of these has a different day, and we're going to unite with over 500 other churches around the country and around the world to pray for these different ministries of our movement through the next 40 some odd days. I think that's a pretty exciting opportunity for us. The prayer thing is okay. Like I said, I think we're all on board with that. When I ask you to pray for something, I know we've got a lot of folks in this church who are really good about praying for stuff. But I'd like to say something also about this fasting bit. Personally, from my perspective, fasting has not been part of my own religious practice. Maybe you can't tell, but I like food. And I really do, and I enjoy it. And if you can ask Tara, if I skip a meal, I start to get a little grouchy. Right? Yeah, if I miss lunch or if you know I'm a little late for whatever, then I can get a little bit short. So I like food too much to really make fasting a regular part of my life, but I think I'm going to try to give it a shot here. But what I'm not going to do is fast for 40 days. When it says 40 days of prayer and fasting, we're not asking you to pray constantly for 40 days. You have other things to do, like sleep and do the dishes and do the laundry. I mean, you can't pray all the time, and you can't fast all the time. If you want to fast for 40 days, see your doctor first, seriously. Because any time you go without food for an extended period of time, even a week or longer, you need to make sure that your doctor knows so that everything's going to be okay with you physically. There are things that we can do to our bodies that really mess them up, putting bad things in them and not putting anything in them at all. If you go too long, that can be a health risk. So don't hear me say that you need to give up food for 40 days. I'm not even saying that you need to give up food at all. But if this is something that you think would be a good way for you to draw closer to the Lord, for you to feel something inside you that connects you to something higher than yourself, then fasting might be a way to go. See, this is what fasting does. When you go without food for a certain period of time, whether it's a meal or a day or a couple of days, whatever, you get hungry, obviously. And what that hunger tells you is that you are not complete by yourself. You are not fulfilled, physically speaking, on your own power. When we fast, we have a physical reminder of our need for the Lord. We have a physical gut instinct that says, I'm not finished yet. It's about humility in a lot of ways. This is what Isaiah said in chapter 58. The people who were fasting and making a show of it were humbling themselves. Look how humble I am. Well, there's something to it. When you go without food for a little bit, you get hungry, and that makes you humble before the Lord. How does it make you humble before the Lord? Well, when your stomach is full, everything's right with the world. I mean, everything. You can ask Tara that about me. When I'm grouchy, one of the things she, you know, we have a list of things to go through. Are you hot? Sometimes I get hot and that makes me grouchy, so I take off my shoes or my socks or something. I'm a little cooler. Are you hungry? Yes. If I'm hungry, put food in me, everything's good. It's like magic. I don't know why. But when your stomach is full, everything's good. That can be a temptation. That can be an obstacle to us having real connection with God. There are a couple of places in the New Testament where the contrast is made. Do you serve the Lord or is your belly your God? And there's something real to it. If we live to make ourselves physically satisfied, not just food, but how we feel, how we look, how we're dressed, things like this, external things, then we have the tendency to sort of forget about God. We can put him up on the shelf there and say, well, yeah, I kind of follow him. But, you know, my stomach's full and everything's good. I don't really need to be connected to him in a deep and intimate way. This fasting bit, this fasting routine, this fasting discipline is something that can remind us that we really do honestly need to be connected to our Lord. And we really are dependent on him for every breath that we take. Fasting does a couple of other things for us. It shows us that we can grow in various ways. We can grow in self-discipline, because fasting is a routine. Fasting is a discipline. It's something that requires some practice and requires some work and requires some regimented behavior to avoid eating the food for the length of time that you've chosen. It also helps grow us in self-control. So I see the candy bar over there, or I see the ham sandwich over there. Well, you know, I'll practice self-control. Why? Not because abstaining from food is necessarily good, but if I can abstain from that, then I can abstain from thinking a bad thought about this person, or I can abstain from this immoral act, stealing or adultery or those other things that we might be tempted to do. If we can abstain from food, it's a practice of self-control, then we can control ourselves in other ways that really are more moral and more important. It helps us with our spiritual gifts in that way. It helps us learn how to be moderate and show restraint. If we can restrain ourselves in this one way, then we can restrain ourselves in other ways. We don't have to buy the $100 pair of shoes out there. We can buy the $20 pair of shoes. Or we can buy two $20 pairs of shoes and save some money and have twice as much. You know, we can restrain ourselves from being extraordinary and lavish in the way that we live. Fasting has all of these different kinds of benefits that kind of go along with it. It's a spiritual discipline that takes some work. And I'd like you to consider taking that as a challenge for these 40 days coming up. We'll have some time of prayer. We'll have the prayer calendars and these devotional things. But if it seems like it might be a good way for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord, choose a day, maybe one day a week or one meal a week or something like this, where you can practice this self-control discipline of abstaining from food for the purpose of deepening your relationship with the Lord. If you choose to go for a few days without food, then there are some other physical benefits that actually happen. Studies have shown that this is the way it works. If you stop feeding your body with junk, which is what we do most of the time, after 2, 3, 4 days, your body starts, well, you'll start to lose a little bit of weight, okay, but that's not the benefit. The real benefit is all the toxins and things that you've put in your body through all the different kinds of foods, all the caffeine, all the sugar that you've loaded into your body will work them out of your system. It's just the way the body is set up. You fast for a week and you'll start to get rid of all the impurities that are inside you. I've read that you'll notice that your breath starts to smell funny. Well, it's some of the impurities coming out of you that way. And your body becomes cleaner from the inside out. Isn't that fascinating? That's only if you go for a few days. I don't know if I have enough self-control to do that. But it's something to think about. It's something to consider. Because we have a lot of brothers and sisters in our fellowship that will be experiencing this with us in the days to come. And after all, it's something that the Lord challenged us to do. But the problem is that we can't do this as an end in itself. We have 40 days of prayer and fasting that we've been called to participate in by the Church of God movement as a whole, but we cannot let this be an end in itself. That's what the people in Isaiah's day did. They let their religious lives, whether it involves prayer and fasting or not, they let their religious lives become an end in itself. Isaiah said, "You think you're so spiritual. You fast before the Lord and everything is just wonderful in your religious lives, but when you go home, you mistreat your workers. You don't care for the poor. You don't care for the oppressed. There's a disconnect between what you're doing religiously, spiritually, and what you're doing tangibly in the world." This thing of Christianity, this thing of Christian faith and practice, is never disconnected from how we live our everyday lives. It's never disconnected from how we live out in the world. It's always, they're always fused into one. And this program, just 40 days of prayer and fasting, is one way for us to remember that our religious lives, our spiritual lives, are intimately associated with who we are, physically speaking. If you choose to fast for a day, you'll know what I mean. Our religious, spiritual lives are intimately intertwined with who we are as individuals in the world. And Isaiah said, "This is just totally wrong if you're only going through the motions." We pray for justice in the world. We pray for God to act justly. And Isaiah said, if that's where it ends, then what good is that? You pray for God to act justly in the world. We pray for nations that are in turmoil, nations that we have absolutely no contact with. We can't go there and make anything better, like Libya, which is just erupting in this terrible civil war. It looks just minutes away that things are going to explode, if they haven't already. I haven't even seen today's news. It's a very, very tense situation there, and it's unnecessary. We've seen power get transferred from one person to another organization in other countries, Tunisia and Egypt, in recent days without bloodshed, and now we've got it in Libya. We've got bloodshed there. It's not necessary, but it's happening. So we pray for God to bring about justice, to bring about righteousness. Okay, we can't do anything there, but we pray for God to bring about justice and righteousness in our own community. We pray for alcoholism to end. We pray for prostitution to cease. We pray for drug abuse to stop. God, make that stuff happen. But Isaiah says, if our prayer lives, if our fasting lives, if our spiritual lives are the end of the road, then we've missed the boat. Here's what true fasting is. It has nothing to do with our stomachs. It has nothing to do with our meals. It has to do with freeing those who are oppressed, releasing those people who are under yokes of oppression, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving shelter to those who are homeless. These are the kinds of things that we should be about as part of our spiritual lives. They're not separated, our spiritual lives and our physical lives. That's what real fasting is about. Oh. You see, it's not an end in itself. We pray and we fast, and I hope you take on these challenges in the next 40 days, starting a week from this coming Wednesday, so we've got some time to prepare for it. I hope you take on these challenges, but not as ends in themselves, because there's more work to be done. This is something that I've said over the past few months. We've always got more to do out in the world, and now we get to connect that with our spiritual walks in a very particular way, in a very meaningful way, I think. Do we just go through the motions of our worship? Do we just go through the motions of our religious lives, our walks with the Lord? Or are we really committed to doing the things that he says are important, which is helping those who are in need? I hope this program can be one way for us to connect with that particular need, with that particular desire for the Lord to bring about justice but not just on his own, through us. See, one of the joys of being Christian is that we get to participate in the work of God. We get to participate in his mission. And this is just one way for us to do that. You know, it's interesting to me that in Matthew chapter 6, which Kevin read for us just a little bit ago, Jesus says, when you fast, don't make a big show of it, do it in secret. He, in that same chapter, says two other things should be done secretly. One of them is prayer. When you pray, don't be like the Pharisees and the hypocrites who go out there and make long prayers out on the street corner. Look how spiritual I am. No, pray in secret. Go into your closet, right? Go into your private space and pray to the Lord, and the Lord will hear you in secret. Pray in secret, fast in secret, and the third one, give alms in secret. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I once saw a cartoon, the Far Side cartoon, that the caption was, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And the left hand's off here playing somewhere, and the right hand says, must kill left hand, must kill left hand. Tonight is the night. And don't let the left hand know. That's funny, but it's not really what it's about. It's when you give, don't make a big deal of it. If you help somebody out that needs a tank of gas, don't make a big deal of it. Just fill up their gas tank and go. Bless them in the name of the Lord. And don't worry about telling your friends at church or at work, yeah, you know, guess what I did today? I got to help out somebody. You know, that's good. I'm glad you did. Don't make it something that makes you puffed up, right? Isn't that interesting? Spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting. Physical disciplines, helping out those who are in need. They're united in the mind of Jesus. Don't do them secretly. And it's also interesting to me that lots of world religions hold these three things to be very important. Prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Those three things are in just about every serious world religion. Praying to some higher power, whatever it is, as misguided as some of them are. Fasting for spiritual discipline and giving to those who are in need. In fact, those three are three of the five pillars of Islam. Did you know that? Islam has five practices that every practicing Muslim is supposed to do. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Those are three. The other two, make a pilgrimage to Mecca, if you can, and confess the creed. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. If you say that and mean it, boom, you're a Muslim, and you have to do these other four things as well. That's not that outrageous. We kind of do the same thing. Go to camp meeting. Make a pilgrimage, right? And confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. And give to the poor and pray and, ooh, fast. Well, there it is again. Well, you know, we don't have rules that we have to follow in order to be Christian. It's about the relationship we have. But isn't that interesting? That it's not just Christians who have picked up on this idea that we need to do these simple but difficult things. Focus 40. Starting March 13th. I hope you are intrigued by this idea. We'll have these devotional booklets out on the table, like I said before, and of course online on the church website and on Facebook too, for those of you who are not fasting from Facebook this, you know, this month. But I hope you take this as an honest challenge for us to draw closer to the Lord, closer in relationship with each other, and to be more unified with our brothers and sisters in other churches. I know Eagle Ridge Church of God is participating in this. They're on the list. I haven't seen other churches in this area. Oh, I did see Meridian. Meridian up in Sanford is on the list too. There's a list online of which churches have officially signed up to participate. It doesn't mean others aren't. But this is a big thing. This is a big thing that's important for us to participate in. Prayer. Okay. Fasting. Have you had enough? Maybe it's time to go eat. Giving to those who are in need. None of these things are negotiable as far as Jesus is concerned. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, it's part of becoming more like Christ, becoming more connected to him. That's a challenge for me. I hope it's a challenge for you. Would you pray with me? Lord God, as we have focused today on prayer and on fasting and on the meaning of our lives in your eyes, how we should live As we've considered all of these things, Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself, even in this moment, that you would inspire in us a desire to practice these disciplines of giving and of praying and of giving up, even in just small ways, so that we might draw closer to you. I pray that you would help us to not go through the motions of our religious lives, of our spiritual exercises, but to really, truly, honestly be connected to you and connected to each other and connected to our world in meaningful ways, in ways that release the bonds of those who are oppressed, in ways that meet the needs of those who are truly in need in our society. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you, that you would make us more like your Son, that we would be self-sacrificial, that we would be honest, that we would be wholeheartedly devoted to you and love you with all that we have. And Lord, I pray for our other fellow congregations in this country and around the world, those 500 plus churches who are meeting, even some of them right now, that are beginning to consider what this Focus 40 thing is all about. Lord, I pray that you would bring about a strong and mighty work in their fellowships as well, that our work together might be brought into your control, that our work together might be made stronger, so that your message could go out into this world in a more unified way, in a more intentional way, in a more meaningful way, so that lives might be touched and changed for the good. We thank you for this challenge from Isaiah so many years ago. And we thank you for our Lord who did not give up on it when he taught his disciples on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. And we pray that you would continue to make us strong in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.